the home 6010.
Welcome to Fantasy Focus. Today's podcast is presented by Geico. You can watch us every weekday at 11 a.m. Eastern Time on ESPN's Twitter, Facebook, and YouTube feeds, as well as the ESPN app, and you can download Fantasy Focus wherever you get your podcasts. Field, Mike Clay, Stefania Bell, and Daniel Dopp in the house for this Thursday podcast. We've got a lot to get to today, including tons of injury updates, a Thursday night football preview, wide receiver cornerback matchup upgrades and downgrades. But before we do all that, welcome back to the birthday boy, Daniel Dopp. Hello, Daniel.
Hey, Field, how are you doing?
I'm doing great. How was your big day?
It was great. It was great. Yeah.
Okay.
Good. It was a nice day. I did some errands.
Okay.
I took some time to just sort of hang out, spent some time with the family, which was really great. Opened some presents. So that was cool.
If you could ask for one thing this year, what would it be? Would it be a Lions win?
Well, you don't want to jinx it, right? Because if you say your birthday wish out loud.
Oh, okay.
And
that's a
jinx,
good point. So a Lions loss. A Lions loss is what you want.
Yes.
Okay. Got it.
I want the Lions to lose on Sunday.
Okay. The Lions win on Sunday.
I think you're going to get your wish. I do.
Mike. Wet blanket over here. Who invited this guy onto the show, huh? Good to have Mike and Stefania here as well. And Stefania, I'm going to start with you because we actually have a ton of injuries to get to involving quarterbacks. I mean, all kinds of players, but a longer list than normal for quarterbacks. So Aaron Rodgers back from the COVID-19 list, played on Sunday. They won. He wasn't great, but still they won. He missed practice yesterday. What's going on?
So he was listed because of a toe injury, but people might not have been paying attention. He actually had this going into last week's game. This is not a new thing. But he didn't have to be listed on the injury report last week because he was still on the reserve COVID-19 list. So for that reason, it flew under the radar for a lot of people. I don't worry too much about this. He obviously went through last week's game with no issues.
Okay, so no concerns on Aaron Rodgers. We just want him to play better because the offense was not great last week against a Seattle defense that I think is getting a little bit better, but not exactly, you know, one of the most dominant teams are going to face throughout the rest of the season. How about Kyler Murray, Stefania? He's missed two games in a row, and I feel like the urgency picked up for Arizona because they lost this past Sunday. They got humbled by Carolina. Any chance we'll see Kyler on Sunday against Seattle?
I feel like there is. You know, everybody wants to be careful that they don't oversell it, right? Cliff Kingsbury is saying he's hopeful that he'll have him this week. Mm-hmm. And to which my response is, we are all hopeful that we have him this week.
Sure.
Kyler Murray said he's feeling a lot better. I mean, if you listen to him, it sounds like the progress he's made would put him in position to play. And honestly, if this were the end of the season, I don't think we'd even be having this conversation. Mm. It's like you look at the Cardinals and the fact that they have a bye the following week, and I think everyone's trying to establish, would it be worth it for him to just wait the couple of more weeks? I don't think they're fully going to show their cards, but if I had to lean towards one way or the other right now, I'd say it's more likely than not that he plays.
You see how much of a pro she is? Stefania says the Cardinals are not going to show their cards. Get it? We often call
such
them
a
the
pro,
cards.
I get it. Didn't know it. One of those. Yeah.
It sounds like this. I mean, Stefania made it seem like there's a chance, and that would be great news. And I know that I mentioned how the Cardinals might be feeling a bit more pressure because they lost on Sunday. A little bit of that pressure was alleviated when the Rams got stomped on Monday. I don't recall who they played, Stefania.
Yeah. Oh, you know, this team in the NFC West that people have forgotten about, the 49ers.
Ah, the 49ers looking much like a team that has a chance to compete for that final playoff spot. Then we got a few other injuries at quarterback, Stefania, and some of them are also COVID-related issues, including that for Ben Roethlisberger, who is in both categories, all right? Ben has been banged up, and now he's on the COVID list as well. Any sense of whether he'll be available on Sunday?
I think they're expecting him to come back. You know, Mike Tomlin's making it very clear that Roethlisberger's participating in everything. You know, the meetings are virtual, that he doesn't need to be on the practice field at this point for him to be able to play on Sunday. And as we've reminded people here before he went on the COVID list, he was banged up with other musculoskeletal issues. So I think they're just happy to keep him sidelined and recovering until it gets down to the wire.
Mike, Mason Rudolph finished as quarterback 13 for the week last week, surprisingly. Did you see anything from him last week that was either decidedly different, better, worse for the pass catchers? I don't think Ben is really on that redraft quarterback radar starting list, I should say. But it feels like Diontae Johnson made out okay last week. It wasn't a total abomination.
Yeah, it was okay. And that's kind of what we thought going in, right? I mean, you look at the efficiency of Big Ben and Mason Rudolph since the beginning. Well, you compare Rudolph's career to Ben since the start of last year. It's pretty close. I mean, Big Ben is not prime Big Ben anymore, right?
Right.
So, yeah, there wasn't much of a change. I will say this, though. Rudolph finished, what did you say, 13th he was?
Yeah.
13th in fantasy points? That was the best finish of the season by either Rudolph or Big Ben.
That's crazy.
By a Steelers quarterback was
that's
that.
Crazy.
So,
yeah.
If you're looking for a quarterback, probably stay away from that situation.
That being said, I do think better days are ahead for Deontay Johnson if Mason Rudolph starts again on Sunday, because they played in a slop fest in Pittsburgh this past week. They are playing in Los Angeles, California at SoFi Stadium, where it does not do anything other than bring beautiful, idealistic football weather for Sunday Night Football, the game again. We'll see whether Ben is available for that game, but he at least has a chance. Baker Mayfield, Stefania, he is like Ben. He's got like every injury imaginable right now. Every part of his body is sore.
I think both knees, his left shoulder, we know has a torn labrum, and that's been very problematic. The only thing that's not hurt, at least not yet, is his throwing shoulder. And they've left it open for him to be able to play, but it really comes down to how well he can perform, and they don't want to put him at risk. So the most recent injury is the knee contusion, and we saw that he was in a great deal of pain after that, but no major structural damage. The way Baker's been going, they've been putting him out there as long as he can move and protect himself. And so right now there's no indication that that would change.
Mike, to the extent that you're starting any Browns pass catcher, does it matter whether Case Keenum or Baker Mayfield starts?
Again, the way Baker has played as of late, it doesn't move the needle much. I'd feel a little bit better if it was Baker Mayfield because he is the better player. And we saw what he could do in the second half last season. Remember how well he did down the stretch last season? He was one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL. So maybe he'll turn it on once he gets fully healthy here down the stretch. But in terms of, I mean, you're already not starting a lot of these guys, right? You're invested in Chubb and Landry. I know he's been down a little bit, but you still view him as at worst a flex. Not Peoples Jones is kind of too volatile right now, but that's it. You know, that's it. So no, I don't think it moves the needle much.
With you on that, Jared Goff, same game, Stefania. He is dealing with, was it an oblique or an abs issue?
Mm-hmm. And an oblique is one of your abdominal muscles. And it's really important for throwers. We see it in baseball pitchers all the time. Strained obliques, and it will cost them usually in the range of 3 to 4 weeks for even your average oblique strain. And so for Jared Goff, it really is something that can impact his ability to throw the ball, because any sort of rotation involves your obliques. And he was injured in the first quarter of last week's game. He said he can manage the pain, but he acknowledged it would come down to functionality. So essentially, can he throw the ball effectively? I think there's at least a chance that Jared Goff's not able to play this weekend.
Yeah, he said he did address the media yesterday, which read into that what you will, but I think he seems to be on board. Like, if he's not good to go, he's not going to fight it to the degree that, like, hey, I'm too stubborn and too prideful, I have to play. Like, if he's not physically ready to play, it'll be Tim Boyle, who has been designated from IR. He was signed from Green Bay this past offseason. Here's my scouting report on Tim Boyle. I don't know much about him, Mike, because he barely ever played in Green Bay, mostly just a preseason star. But again, same thing here, right? Like, to the extent that you're playing a Lions pass catcher, I'm not sure it really matters right now. The only one that you're considering starting is TJ Hockenson, and he had 0 points last week.
I know. Yeah, I mean, you don't want to start their wide receivers.
Is that funny to you, Mike?
Yes. It's very funny. It's very funny. It is. Okay. Yeah, it's hilarious.
Is it funny to you? It's not very funny to me.
It wasn't funny to me. I'm laughing as I drop all of my Lions to waivers in all of my leagues. Klee Freeman, Amon-Ra St. Brown, you're not starting any of those guys. Trinity Benson goes from like not playing at all to their number two or three receiver. It's all over the map. So you're
Josh
avoiding
Reynolds? I mean, any chance he's going to make a splash?
We'll keep an eye on him. Not yet, but they did cut Geronimo Allison, which is a sign Reynolds will probably be active. So we'll keep an eye on his progress. But needless to say, in most 10, 12 team leagues, you're not even picking up Josh Reynolds right now. We'll just keep an eye on how much he plays.
Slow burn in Detroit. Slow burn. Long, long process ahead, Daniel, but give it some time here. Stefania, one more quarterback injury, and this is Zach Wilson, who will not start for the Jets on Sunday because Joe Flacco will be starting against the Miami Dolphins, but it sounds like he's getting closer.
It sounds like he's pretty close, but just not quite there yet. And, you know, people can speculate on whatever they want about how the quarterback rotation is going in New York, but to be fair to Zach Wilson and his career, I think you owe him the opportunity to get 100% better from this PCL injury, and maybe not 100% in the season, but at least to a point where he has functional stability. You don't want him running around on an unstable knee, potentially making that injury worse, compromising the future health of his career. So if they're giving him extra time to make sure that he can do what he needs to do and protect himself, I think that's fair.
I tell you what, there are a lot of people talking about how the Jets have decided to handle their quarterbacks recently, and not even necessarily about Zach Wilson. Like, I think people understand the idea of protecting the centerpiece of your franchise going forward, but why would you play Joe Flacco over a guy like Mike White? These things tend to have a bit more nuance than meets the surface, Mike. I'll just say, like, my hypothesis, and like, this doesn't bother me so much. Like, I don't think this is like some egregious error by the Jets. It's simply like, Mike White's more creative, a better quote unquote playmaker. I think though, like, the structure of the Jets offense, they probably feel that Joe Flacco does a better job playing within structure. That's kind of a football term. It gets thrown around way too much than Mike White can. And they want to get an evaluation of other players. They want to know what Elijah Moore looks like and what their offensive line looks like and what these running backs look like within the contract of what their offense is supposed to look like based off how they draw it up.
Yeah, 100%. And that was part of why, that reminds me of Denver when everyone was like, why would they not entertain offers for Teddy Bridgewater? Well, you're not just evaluating the quarterback position, right? I think it's safe to say Drew Lock's probably not the future there. Teddy Bridgewater was the guy they've utilized all season long, but you're trying to evaluate Courtland Sutton and Jerry Jeudy and at a point KJ Hamler before he got injured and Tim Patrick and Noah Fant. You know, all of these guys, Javonte Williams, Melvin Gore, like all these guys you're trying to utilize, get the ball in their hands. And if you just make a huge downgrade and have major problems at quarterback, how are you going to do that? They get, you can't even get the ball in their hands, right? So I'm totally with you. I understand it from that standpoint. This one's a little interesting because you know Flacco's not the future. You kind of want to see more of Mike White, I think. But they know White. They've had him around for a while and know what he brings to the table, I suppose. So, but I get it from that standpoint. Flacco, put Flacco in there. Just get the ball to Elijah Moore and Crowder and Corey Davis, and we'll see what they can do.
You know, it's almost like Mike White probably is what he was in the first place, which was a guy drafted, in day three of the draft, cut by his own team. It's not like Dallas was flush with quarterback depth last year. I know they had Andy Dalton, but like he was beat up by Cooper Rush, right? Wasn't he beat up by Ben DiNucci as
well? I think
so,
yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Maybe he's like a third string quarterback and the Jets just want to have their offense look a little bit more like it's supposed to look.
Yeah.
But people have to get mad about stuff these days, Mike.
Of course they do. And remember that game where he had the 400 yards, ton of volume, obviously, but what was his average depth of throw? Like 4 yards?
Yeah, it was 399 yards after catch. Like, right. It was a cool story. It was a good moment, but like, it's okay for the Jets to want to have a veteran quarterback play a game for them. This is not some like crisis against humanity. A bunch of other injury updates here. Stefania and the Chiefs may have a logjam at running back soon. If Clyde Edwards-Helaire returns this weekend, do you think he will?
I don't think we know yet. Okay. You know, Andy Reid had said that he wanted to see how Clyde Edwards-Helaire looked in practice, of course, coming off the MCL injury that's had him out and on injured reserve before they made a decision. And he said a couple of things. I mean, he said that it looked like he had a good chance to play on Sunday if he did well through practice. But he also acknowledged that he and Rick Burkholder, longtime head athletic trainer who's been with Andy Reid since the Eagles and through to the Chiefs, so they have these conversations about all the players when they're deciding whether to bring them back. And the Chiefs also have a bye next week. So they will come down to a decision of what they see in practice versus the perhaps reward of waiting an additional week for him to just get a little bit stronger. And I don't know that we're going to have a clear idea until the end of the day on Friday.
Well, it's definitely easy if he sits. We know what the answer is. You're playing Darrell Williams. But Mike, if Clyde Edwards-Helaire plays, how can you play either of those guys?
It's tough for sure. I think you view them both, and I have them both ranked as flex options because I would imagine that if CEH is active here, that he's limited in some capacity. Just Darrell Williams has played well. Now, again, there's other situations where like David Montgomery came back and played what he led all running backs in snap share in that game when we thought he may not play or be limited. So it's hard to say, but you have to bake in some of that risk when you're making lineup decisions. If I have him again, I'm going to rank him in the mid 20s. You can see it on the screen there. I'll have him at 27th. He's a guy you can consider for your flex, but obviously keep an eye on reports leading up to the game. We might get a report close to the game that says he'll be limited or he's going to be a full go. Darrell Williams is going to start, that kind of thing. You just got to keep an eye on that.
Yeah, I feel like Williams has been an inefficient runner, but very good in the passing game, which makes me think that perhaps the Chiefs' vision when CEH is fully healthy at some point is like he'll be the early down guy. Williams will be the up-tempo / passing game guy, which he was prior to CEH's injury. Maybe just like a slightly larger role for Darrell Williams because of what he's earned over these past 5 or so weeks. So finally, the Chris Carson temperature sounds like it's starting to cool a little bit. Pete Carroll had an interesting update on Wednesday.
Yeah, This is really tough because the nature of the injury that Chris Carson has, a chronic neck condition with an acute flare-up recently, makes it really hard to prognosticate because this is something he's obviously been dealing with for a while, and the symptoms will tend to fluctuate. And as they do, it's probably why we see the Seahawks' optimism fluctuate. You know, he was feeling good. They felt good about it. He went into contact practice, obviously didn't go so well. They held him out Friday and then held him out for the weekend. Now this week, Pete Carroll saying that he hasn't made the progress they had hoped he would. So it sounds like whatever speed bump they encountered last week really hasn't resolved itself yet again. I hesitate to say, well, this is clear, then they're going to shut him down for the end of the year. I just think it may stall a little bit longer, but we know there's that 21-day window that they're operating within, given that he's back to practicing. So if they get an idea by the end, as the 21 days approaches, that he's not going to be able to make it back, then he very well will be done for the year.
I believe they have 14 or so more days left before that window closes. So Alex Collins steps into that starting role, and he hasn't been necessarily amazing, but he has been the guy in that Seattle backfield. Stefania, a few more injury updates for running backs. Miles Sanders had his 21-day window opened yesterday as well.
Yes, he is now back officially designated for return from injured reserve. And I think we don't really know exactly what to expect in terms of how they're going to utilize Miles Sanders. I feel like he's had the time to recover from the ankle injury. It was probably very smart of them to put him on IR fairly quickly, give him the time to recover. But he's just dipping his toe back into the practice arena. So we're not really sure how he looks yet.
Mike, you're an Eagles fan, both from a fantasy perspective and then just like an Eagles offensive perspective. How would you like this backfield to shape up when Miles Sanders is good to go?
My biased opinion is someone who's invested in Miles Sanders in a few leagues.
Eagles fan.
Yeah. Okay, as an Eagles fan, I think you certainly utilize multiple backs, right? I don't want to use hot hand. I think that's kind of overstated a little bit. Whatever, you get one good block and suddenly you're the hot hand. You know, you're still as talented as you are. So I know maybe some days you're a little better than others, but that could flip on and off. We can talk all about that momentum, all that fun stuff. But anyway, I think Sanders is your best talent, right? I think he should be the main guy. He should be looking at 15 or so touches a game. I think there's a role in there for Jordan Howard based on the way he's played. A lot of his runs, I watch every one of his runs. It's a lot of like 3 yard runs, 4 yard runs, 3 yard, you know, it's all like just chipping away, just getting what the defense gives you, essentially just running between the tackles, especially when they're leading. So I think there's a role for that. There's some capacity certainly in short yardage for that. And then, you know, it's going to be tough with the other guys. I mean, it's going to be hard to carve out a role for a guy like Boston Scott and Kenny Gainwell, who kind of has disappeared even with Sanders out. So I think you kind of just use them based on game situation, right? You know, if you're leading, you're going to use Howard more. If you're ahead, you're going to use Sanders more. He's terrific in the passing game as well. I think you just got to use multiple guys. But look, I hope I'm wrong because I have a lot of Sanders and I want him to get back to being a 18 to 20 touch guy. And I think he is their best talent. I think he deserves that. I think he should be a feature back in the league. So he was playing 2/3 of the snaps before the injury. So yeah. there is a chance that he jumps back into that. And with them running the ball more now, he can end up being a nice play going forward. The Eagles do have one of the easiest remaining schedules for running backs.
We went through it yesterday, like very easy schedule. Yes. Just in general. I mean, they don't play any offenses that really scare you the rest of the
way.
They
don't get on an airplane again this year in the regular season.
Very crazy. Yeah. Stefania, we have a little bit of injury update on Kareem Hunt. So sort of, there's like a good news, bad news component here.
Well, the good news is your decision's already been made for you. Okay. Kareem Hunt is not going to be playing this weekend against the Lions, but we still don't know when he's going to come back. I would just remind people, when he went out, think of what the visual was. He was in great pain, tearful, couldn't put any weight on his leg. And we heard that it was a calf strain that was going to cost him in excess of a month back when it originally happened. Sometimes when you return from an injury like that, and you look at the timeline, people are like, well, we're hitting that 5 week. You know, after this weekend, it'll be 5 games that he's missed since the injury. Coming back from the injury on the timeline doesn't necessarily mean ready to play. So he may be just approaching about the time that they would return him to practice. Keep in mind their bye is not until week 13. I would say, you know, being that we're at a distance, I don't think we can safely say they're automatically going to hold him out through that. But it's probably in the calculus somewhere in terms of how he looks when he returns to practice.
No Kareem Hunt for week 11 as of right now. And we're having this conversation at 11:19 on Thursday morning. Nick Chubb has not been activated from the COVID-19 list. So We'll see whether that happens tomorrow. John Kelly, the Browns running back who was placed on the list one day before Nick Chubb, was activated just about an hour or so before we're having this conversation. So maybe Nick Chubb is back by Friday. If not, could be another week of D'Ernest Johnson, who has been obviously exceptional in the two games that he has started for Cleveland this year. One more injury update, Stefania, before our Thursday night football preview is Logan Thomas. We thought would be available in week 10. He was not. Could it be available this weekend?
I mean, as far as I can tell, that's still very doubtful. Mm-hmm. I mean, he really has not made much progress from what was clearly a serious hamstring injury. And when he tried to run that one time a little over a week and a half ago, he was bothered by it and immediately shut down from practicing. So I hate to be pessimistic on it, but there hasn't been really a lot to be optimistic about in terms of his recovery.
Two more weeks before they have to decide on Logan Thomas officially. Again, that 21-day window, as we all know, Washington very short-staffed along the medical staff at the moment. We'll see how, if at all, their injuries shape up. They've got no Curtis Samuel right now, no Logan Thomas right now, but at least they did come off of a win, and Taylor Heineke's confidence is growing. We're going to discuss Patriots and Falcons in a very, very important injury situation to monitor in that one in just a moment. But first, Stefania, do you own a renter home?
I do.
Yeah, you do. And it's hard work, isn't it?
It's always hard.
Yeah, but you know what's easy? Bundling policies with Geico. Geico makes it easy to bundle your homeowners or renters insurance along with your auto policy. And it's a good thing, too, because you already have so much to do around your new home. Go to geico.com, get a quote, and see how much you could save. It's Geico easy. Visit geico.com today. That's geico.com.
This episode is brought to you by Captain Morgan. NFL fans know with the season underway, you got to have the right players for all 60 minutes to bring that spark. Don't ride that hot hand. That hot hand does not exist. Analytics exist, and you need to ride the right hand for a full 60 minutes. Right, Mike Clay?
Yes. Yes, indeed.
Sometimes you got to sub someone in to switch things up. Same thing goes for that drink in your hand on game day. So if you're looking to sub in something more refreshing, pour yourself a delicious, crisp Captain Morgan spiced rum and ginger. Sub in the Captain. Captain Morgan, the official spiced rum of the NFL. Visit CaptainMorgan.com to find Captain near you. Drink responsibly. Captain Morgan Rum Company, New York, New York.
Thursday Night Football heads down to Atlanta for the Patriots and the Falcons. We're going to talk about the Falcons and a key injury update in just a moment. But for the Patriots to find, this one's a little bit easier. Damian Harris missed last week due to the concussion protocol. Ramondre Stevenson stepped in. What do we know about Damian Harris's availability for tomorrow night?
He is cleared. Good to go. So he's not even on the pregame injury report at all. Obviously out of the concussion protocol. So Damian Harris and Ramondre Stevenson, both free and clear for tonight.
We'll discuss their value in just a moment. But Mike, Mac Jones, one of the more positive developments in terms of rookies, especially at quarterback this year. He's showing he's got a real bright future in this league. I think from fantasy, he's coming on. Not sure he's quite to the spot where he's cracking the top 15 or so, but there's certainly a lot of encouraging signs from Mac Jones.
Yeah, there are two top eight fantasy weeks over the past month. Before that, or other than that, his best finish is 17th, right? Mm-hmm. So again, he's trending up, but we're not there yet. He doesn't add any value with his legs, and that's obviously problematic. So not viewing him as QB1 yet, but again, monitor it. If you're in a deeper league, certainly Superflex, he's the guy you want on your bench or in the QB2 slot for now. This is a good matchup, though, against Atlanta. Third most touchdowns and third most fantasy points to quarterbacks this season. So deep league streaming, maybe 16-teamer, maybe sure. You could stream him. You know, that's about as far as I'd go right now.
Playing well, certainly looks like a guy's going to be around for a while. Very accurate with the football as well is Mac Jones. For the Patriots running backs, we just heard out Damian Harris is available, Mike, which kind of complicates matters because Ramondre Stevenson was RB2 in the entire league last week, 27.4 fantasy points. But Damian Harris is far from a slouch. He's very, very good. He had a touchdown in five straight games prior to missing this past week. This is, I'm not going to ask you what you think is going to happen because none of us know, right? Just gut call. Okay.
Yeah.
Do you assume that Damian Harris comes back into a workhorse role tonight? Or do you think Damian Harris leads the Patriots in total running back touches, but Ramondre Stevenson, it's maybe more like 60-40 or 55-35 plus 10 for Brandon Bolden? type scenario tonight.
I think that Stevenson will continue to kind of eat away at Bolden more so than Harris, much like he was right before Harris got hurt, right before they both got concussions, right? So I think that's what you'll see. If I had to guess here, I think Harris comes back. And remember, he had a really high floor, lots of carries. He was distributing, scoring fantasy points, not a high ceiling, though. Doesn't have a weekly finish better than 15th. But I think what you'll see is Harris comes in, he handles, say, 15 carries, assuming a normal game script, and maybe one target if he's lucky. He doesn't get targeted, obviously. Yeah. And then Stevenson handles the rest, right? That can mean 6 to 8 carries and 4 or 5 targets. Right. You know, they're trying to get the ball in his hands. They obviously threw it to James White and Brandon Bolden. And then again, a little bit of Bolden mixed in. Remember, they love Bolden on special teams, right? If they have an opportunity to utilize him in that capacity, I think they want to do that. That's been the trend for the past decade. So that's how I would look at it. So Harris for me, where do I have him ranked? Roughly, or 21, right? So yep, a back 21. End RB2, and then Stevenson more of a flex option. I'm more nervous about Stevenson because we don't know for sure. I feel safer about Harris, but I wouldn't just assume Stevenson looked great, so he's the guy now. I don't think that's going to be the case. I'll be surprised if it is, as much as I like him.
Yeah, and because again, Damon Harris is really good.
Yeah, right? Of course
he's really good.
Yeah,
and what they want to do in terms of the running game is they've got an outstanding offensive line. They want to run with power. That's what Damon Harris does really well. So I would think I feel comfortable as well ranking Harris ahead of Stevenson going into tonight. The world saw a great moment on Sunday. Jacoby Myers finally did it.
Yes.
Finally scored a touchdown. All of a sudden, he can get that monkey off of his back, and he can move forward. And because he now has a touchdown on his back, or a touchdown on his resume, Mike, I should ask you, does that mean that Jacoby Myers' stock goes up? Or is this a guy that's sort of valued commensurate with how he was valued every other week for you?
Yeah, it's almost like he made a deal with someone like the football guys and was like, can I have a touchdown if I stop getting targeted like 10 times a game? Because now he's not getting targets. Uh-huh. Of course, he finally scores. Now he doesn't get targets. So 7 total targets over his past 2 games. He's been under 7 targets in 5 of his past 6 games, right? Yeah. So he's trending the wrong direction in that department. That makes me a little bit nervous. Also, not really a high ceiling for a guy that he was getting that big target share and we were like, okay, he's a wide receiver 3 flex. He only has 3 finishes better than 35th this season too.
Well, so part of that's obviously the touchdowns, right? Like just there's 0 touchdowns until last week.
No doubt. Yeah. No doubt. But now we got in the end zone, but now it's offset by the targets going down. So I'm a little bit nervous about that. And I don't think it's completely fluky because they are getting the ball to like Stevenson, for example, Kendrick Bourne's trending up. Right. Nelson Aguilar, believe it or not, is involved in that offense. We don't hear his name much, but he is getting a handful of targets a game, obviously the tight end. So, and N'Keal Harry's back too. When he's healthy, he's mixed in a little bit as well. So for me, I think that he is, again, on the best as a flex, ideally a flex, maybe a borderline wide receiver 3, but I don't think this, he gets the score and now they're going to come in at a barrage and the targets are still going to be eight or nine a game.
Sure.
So I would just keep expectations in check here.
Saw a good game from Kendrick Bourne this past Sunday. Seems to be trending up, as you mentioned. We'll be interested to see whether he eventually becomes the Patriots wide receiver that you want to start week in and week out, if there is one.
Yeah, that was a career high in fantasy points and his first game ever over 100 scrimmage yards for Kendrick Bourne. So again, we're not getting carried away. He basically maxes out at about 4 targets a game.
Okay.
So we don't want to go crazy with him, but he is involved. In the offense, obviously.
Speaking of involving the offense, is Hunter Henry, who keeps scoring touchdowns, Mike. He has 7, which is as many as any tight end in the NFL, if not more. He's been really good for them in the red zone. Hasn't had a ton of volume, so that's why he's hard to crack inside your top 10, right? This is a guy who said games with like 2 catches and a touchdown, 1 catch and a touchdown, 4 catches and a touchdown. Not a lot of yardage, but he's really good in the scoring zone, which makes him like, I wouldn't be surprised if he started in a bunch of 10 team leagues.
Yeah. Under 5 targets in 5 straight games makes him super touchdown dependent. But you know what it reminds me of? He is this year's Rob Tonyan.
Interesting.
Right?
Yeah.
I mean, the super low target share, only gets a handful of game and he has to score. If he doesn't score, you get 2 for 15 and that's it.
Right.
You're burnt, you know, but if he scores, which he has done and what 7 touchdowns in his past 7 games, as you pointed out, then he hits for you. So that's the risk you're taking. You know, it depends on your tight end situation. He's not safe by any means. He's boom bust, but that's his value.
Been a lot of boom recently. Stefania, do you think Jonnu Smith will play tonight for the Patriots? He was out this past week, which I'm not saying that Henry is only valuable when Jonnu Smith isn't on the field, but it factors into the mix at least a little bit.
Yeah, if you can decipher the Patriots questionable tag field better than I can. I mean, it's really tough, right? Because sometimes they list a lot of players as questionable, and many of them we expect to play.
Yeah.
You know, Brandon Bolden is questionable this week. But Jonnu Smith has come in as questionable and played, and then come in and not played with this. So there's definitely, the injury is, I think, a little more significant than people really recognize because he was playing through it for a while. But it's hard for me to gauge with so few practices, real practices this week, and him being listed as he has been consistently.
Gut call for me is he plays. He did travel with them to Atlanta, right, short week. So gut call is he plays, but we'll see. Let's get to the Falcons. And Mike, remember the Matt Ryan renaissance that happened recently? It was awesome.
Yeah,
no, I mean, he was good, right? He was. Yeah. He had like a 4-week stretch where he was somewhere in the top 15 or so for quarterbacks. Came back down to earth last week. Obviously, last week was like as bad as it gets for him. He had 0.68 fantasy points. I still think Matt Ryan's like a pretty solid NFL quarterback. Like, he's not a top 10, but he's not a bottom 10 either, right? Mm-hmm. He's somewhere in that middle range. But this Patriots defense has not exactly faced a ton of great quarterbacks this year. But those that they have, they've done a pretty good job of keeping in check. Dak Prescott, probably the notable exception.
At 100%. Only two quarterbacks have reached 17 fantasy points against him this year. It was Dak Prescott and, ready for this one?
Let me guess. Davis Mills.
Yes, Davis Mills. Yeah. They were the only two to do it. So I guess it's possible, but they have allowed the second fewest fantasy points to quarterbacks this season. That defense is kind of flying under the radar, right? When you talk Patriots, you immediately go right to Mac Jones and talk about how well he's doing. The defense has been really dominant, as we're going to talk as we go through this matchup. But yeah, Matt Ryan only has two top 10s this season. He has not been a good fantasy starter. Two finishes of 30th or worse over the past 3 weeks, to your point, where he's kind of come back to earth. Not a guy you want close to your lineup. I have him buried. He's my QB 29 this week.
Wow. Yeah. We'll see. Tough matchup. We'll see whether, you know, he's good enough that, like, he could certainly get you 15 fantasy points. Like, he's good enough. Sure, like, he has the ability to, but it's a good, tough matchup, and we'll talk about the fact that he's going to be perhaps limited amongst his pass catchers and running backs. And for that, I turn to Stefania. Cordarrelle Patterson, there was a report earlier this week, Stefania, that basically it sounded like Thursday night was a long shot for Patterson, maybe even a couple weeks where he would be gone. Now he's a game time decision.
That report out of NFL Network, and, you know, I didn't really expect to see him in practice then after that, but he was listed as limited participant. They had one day where they didn't actually practice, but he did do some work. They're calling it a game time decision. Arthur Smith said it's going to come down to right up to the wire. You know, we're talking gut calls now. I don't feel great about this because you look at, like, if you wait another 10 days. He didn't play at all in the second half of last week's game. I mean, clearly he's been super valuable to their team. And you just worry about if he goes out and he's really not tested the ankle and he gets out there and then aggravates it. Is it something that turns into a bigger problem when it was sort of, you know, teetering on either side of it just going into this week's game? So maybe he's able to convince them he's out there. I don't feel great about starting him if I have him on my team because this is one where you know going in he's not 100%. It's just a question of whether he's going to take the field or not.
Fair enough. He scored a lot of touchdowns so far this year, Mike, and I think there is some trepidation based off what Stefania just said. The silver lining is this. You know right away. I mean, this is the earliest game of the week, and if he's active or if he's inactive, things are easy, right? You can pivot in so many different ways, but based off of what Stefania just said, based off the matchup, do you feel comfortable, all things being equal? Like, I get it. Like, if you drafted, you're in over your head and whatever, you drafted Jonathan Taylor and you drafted, you know, Daryl Henderson and you drafted A.J. Dillon. Like, then, yeah, of course I'd be benching Patterson this week because you have three potential RB1s. Mm-hmm. But if you're a more normal human who doesn't have such luxuries at running back, how would you feel about playing Patterson tonight?
Well, I have him 17th for now, and I'll keep an eye on reports leading up to the game, too, to see how he's looking and if he's active, if he's going to be limited. Remember, I mean, last week, Wayne Gallman played a big role, and the explanation there was we know we play it on a short week, so we're going to just give him a lot and give the other guys a rest. I think Patterson was already injured at that point, but Mike Davis didn't play a lot. So maybe they do that tonight, too. Maybe they say, okay, well, Patterson's not 100%, so let's work in Wayne Gallman a little bit. But on the other hand, if he's active, I mean, if he's active, why is he active? He's active to play, right? And be a playmaker. And you're playing against a defense that's allowed the third most yards to opposing running backs this season. This is a guy that is utilized at, they have done a lot of touchdowns, only three touchdowns, but a lot of yards to running backs this season. It's a guy that lines up a receiver. They use him all over. They need as much help as they can get. So if I have him, like you said, on a normal team that's not completely stacked at running back, I'd have a hard time benching him if he's active for this game.
How about if he's inactive? How much value does Mike Davis present in your opinion? Like, is he a must start by default?
Yep.
Again, using the whatever we're going to define a must start as, like, you're a person who does not have 9 running backs available. You have like 2, maybe 2.5 based off how confident you are in your third one.
Yeah, we need a term for that, like a reasonable start.
Yeah,
right?
reasonable start, right?
Yeah. I would say he's a reasonable start. I guess what it is where we rank him, right? So I believe I had him 23rd when I assumed Patterson would be out. Now I put Patterson back in because things seem to be moving positively as he's been at practice and that kind of thing. We'll obviously keep an eye on that, but yeah, I think Davis will be a back end RB2 or at least a strong flex option. Look, the guy has double digit fantasy points in 6 of 9 games this season, believe it or not, even with Patterson doing all that damage. He plays a lot. He's out snapping Patterson most weeks. He's right there with him in carries almost every week or ahead of him. So whether we like it or not, we're not the coach, and the coach keeps putting Mike Davis out there. And they seem to rest him a little bit last week with the intent of utilizing him in this game. That's why Gallman played so much. That's what they said. So, yes, I think Davis is the preferred play over Wayne Gallman, even though Gallman was better last week. I view him as a fringe RB2. Gallman, I don't really want in my lineup. You know, if you're really in a bad spot and you want to throw him in your flex, if Patterson's out, okay, but I don't feel great about it.
Yeah, I think the important thing with Wayne Gallman tonight is that let's say he does play either an equal amount or like a little bit more than Mike Davis. Then it introduces an interesting conversation in week 12 when the Falcons are back from what I call the mini bye of playing on Thursday.
Yeah, and I would have felt more shaky about the situation if the coach was like, well, I forget who exactly was interviewed, but if it was like, well, he's been playing well in practice, so we wanted to get him more work and he did well, so we're going to work him in. Yeah. It wasn't that. It was, we need to rest our main guys for Thursday, you know, so we're going to put this backup guy that never plays on the field. And by the way, Gallman has like not played at all season. Right, so that was new.
Yeah.
So that kind of explanation makes me a little weary of Gallman.
So Falcons are obviously without Calvin Ridley at wide receiver. We continue to wish him well as he's dealing with some personal mental wellness issues. He is on the non-football injury list. We don't know when he'll return. In the meantime, Mike, is there a Falcons wide receiver that's kind of piqued your interest or you think has any value tonight? Or is it sort of fade? Because it's more likely that like one of them could get, let's call it 6 for 70, but you don't know which one it's going to be. It could be Lamide Sagaeus. It could be
Russell Gage, Frank Darby.
Who knows, right? Yeah. Is that where we're at?
We are. Well, check this out. Russell Gage's past 5. Actually, this season, his fantasy point totals, 8, 17, 0, 13, 0. He has 2 zeros in the past 3 weeks, and he's their not top receiver. So I don't want him. Also, New England, 109 receptions allowed to receivers this season. That is lowest in the NFL. The efficiency is good. 80% of wide receiver units that have faced them have been below their season average. It's second best in the league. So horrible matchup for these receivers. They already are unreliable. Stay away.
The one player you are counting on amongst our pass catchers, though, is Kyle Pitts, 5th on your board, 5th on my board, 5th the consensus ranks as well at tight end. Volume's been steady recently, Mike. He's got 6+ targets in 6 straight games. Big issue with Kyle Pitts so far this year has been a lack of touchdowns. He scored once or twice in that game in London. Has not scored a game, has not scored a touchdown in U.S. soil. So, listen, you're still playing him, but you got to figure tonight the strategy for the Patriots is Bill Belichick, what's he notorious for? Taking away your best option, especially in the passing game. It's hard to say, like, we're just going to eliminate your best running back because the running backs touch the ball 25 times a game. I wouldn't be surprised if the Patriots double Kyle Pitts basically the entire game tonight.
I agree, and we talked about this when we were doing receiver cornerback matchups a few weeks ago. I was going through the numbers of the number one player, number one passing game target for the teams New England's played this season, and it was all underwhelming, like right across the board, that top guy. So I'm with you, and that makes me really nervous about Kyle Pitts, and I did ding him a little bit for that in the projections this week, but still, I mean, the tight end position. But you're right. I mean, he 10 or fewer fantasy points in 6 of 9 games this season. His last top 10 was week 7. And also, one more note here, New England, on top of being good against number one targets, really good against tight ends this season. And the schedule hasn't been too hard, but they've allowed the second fewest fantasy points. And Mike Gesicki, 0 fantasy points against him. Jared Cook, 5. Dalton Schultz was the highest tight end scorer against him with 13.
Wow.
So I know he's a borderline receiver, but you know, some of these guys align. Mike Gesicki's probably a similar player, right? He only lines up at receiver, much like Kyle Pitts or Kyle Pitts is most of the time. He had 0. They didn't allow him a single catch in that game. So yeah, it's a tough matchup. I'd be a little nervous if I had Kyle Pitts in my lineup, but at the same time, you're starting Jared Cook over him? Like, what are you doing? Like, you have to play him.
He may only get 3 catches tonight. but he averages over 15 yards per catch, right? Yeah. So like you can get 7.5 fantasy points where like other guys might need 5 catches to get 7.5 fantasy points just based off the way the tight end position is trending this way.
Obviously you want them to come out and play strong offensively, score a lot of points. That helps Pitts, but you're also like, all right, if they're down 14 the whole game, that's fine with me. You know, New England defense backs off a little bit. You could rack up garbage time, maybe put up some points in the fourth quarter. Hey, that works too in fantasy.
I think I know which way you're trending with this one. And by the way, again, you were not here on Friday. We forgot to pick the game on Thursday, but you had Miami last week go for Baltimore. You don't have to.
Oh, you had them. Yes.
We all did. Clearly. We all did. Let's remember to pick the game this time. And I imagine we might have some consensus here. I'll take the Patriots to improve to 7-4. Mike, how about you?
Me too. 27-18 Patriots.
Okay, Stefania, what do you think?
I'm going to go with the Patriots.
Daniel?
I'm going to take the Patriots, and I am seeing 17-16.
Okay, so you're keeping it close.
Yes.
Wow.
Keeping it close. Making it
17. Yeah, sorry. If it's 17-16, you have to do that every week now. Just like close your eyes and visualize the score.
That's what I saw floating in my head.
17-16. All right, yeah. All right, we're going to come back.
Either that or it was the year Matthew was born. I can't remember.
I don't know. I think it was. We're going to come back and we're talking about wide receiver cornerback matchups in a second. But before we do that, Daniel, tell me something.
Do you ever pull into the driveway after a trip to the grocery store only to realize that you forgot that one key ingredient for dinner?
Every time I go to the grocery store.
Well, now you've got options. Get the groceries you need or a backup meal from your favorite local restaurant delivered with DoorDash. For a limited time, our listeners can get 25% off and zero delivery fees on their first order of $15 or more when you download the DoorDash app and enter code FFF. That's 25% off up to a $10 value and zero delivery fees on your first order when you download the DoorDash app in the App Store and enter code FFF. Don't forget, that's code FFF for 25% off your first order with DoorDash. Subject to change, terms apply.
We are back, and it's time now to talk about wide receiver cornerback matchups. Mike Clay writes a column every single week. It's available on ESPN Plus. It's a wonderful, informative reading. Mike, I just want to toot your horn for you because I don't know that you do it enough. Last week, as an example, there are many ways that Mike shows his brilliance here at ESPN. But last week, Mike said, amongst the most notable calls, very nervous about Cortland Sutton and Tim Patrick against that Philadelphia secondary. Darius Slay had more fantasy points than Cortland Sutton or Tim Patrick last week. He, of course, plays cornerback for the Eagles. So when Mike talks, we listen. And with that, Mike, let's get right into our wide receiver cornerback matchups. And the Bears are back from their bye. The Ravens are back from their mini bye. What do you think about the Ravens wide receivers facing Chicago this week?
Yeah, we're going to upgrade them here against Chicago. This is a team that has struggled against that position. Fifth most fantasy points allowed to receivers this season, and it's been worse over the past month. Actually, eighth most over the past month. It's a little better, but fifth most to the perimeter, 10th most to the slot. The point being they struggle all season, and they've struggled the past month as well. They've allowed 9.7 yards per target to receivers. That is highest in the NFL. A really good sign here for guys like Marquise Brown and Rashad Bateman. Marquise Brown lining up on the perimeter a lot, 68% of the time. He'll see all three corners. He's going to move around. He'll be in the slot. He's outside a lot. It's an even share between the left and right side. So he'll see all of Jalen Johnson, Duke Shelley, and Kendall Vildor. And then Rashad Bateman, 82% perimeter. He's an outside threat coming off a pretty good game the last time we saw him. He'll see Jalen Johnson most often. He is the best corner for Chicago. We talked about him as a tough matchup early in the season. He got off to a hot start. He's cooled a little bit. And part of that is quarterbacks just not afraid to throw to him. Sometimes you see that, right? So they haven't been afraid to throw to him. He's allowed a lot of fantasy points. So I'm not worried about this matchup. I think it's an upgrade across the board.
And that Ravens offense needs to get back on track after obviously a very disappointing performance this past Thursday night against Miami. We move forward to the Bucs and the Giants, who play on Monday Night Football, of course, on ESPN. And before I can ask Mike about the cornerbacks, I do want to ask Stefania about the wide receivers here. Antonio Brown has been out for a while now, Stefania. The Bucs offense, listen, they've got a plethora of weapons, but it does feel like they've really missed AB and Gronk. Any sense on where those two players are at?
Not much clue yet. Okay. Gronk, it sounds like, is still recovering. There really haven't seen much of him in the way of practice. Antonio Brown this morning working with the jugs machine. So he was out there near practice, but no word yet on whether he is participating in practice. Their game is not until Monday night. So we have another day before we get an official report.
All right, so keep an eye out for that. And, of course, Fantasy Football Now on Sunday morning, 10 a.m. Eastern time on ESPN2. We will have an update on those two players. And we'll do it once more on Monday morning show before that Monday night game. But, Mike, they play the Giants, a team who I am hoping will be closer to full strength on offense because it could be fun to see them. But defensively, they've been kind of stingy. I mean, they've been playing, I should say, competitive football when some thought they would just fold it in.
Yeah, and part of that is their strong perimeter corners, of course, right? Mm-hmm. Adoree Jackson they added this year. James Bradbury they added last year. They've allowed the sixth fewest fantasy points over expected to receivers this season. They have faced a lot of volume to wide receivers, so that's kind of inflated the total points they've allowed. But efficiency-wise, they've been really good. Fourth fewest to the perimeter over the past month overall, so they've done a really good job there. But the key here really is one of the big matchups in the league this season, which is Mike Evans against James Bradbury. And okay. I love when one corner and one receiver go head to head over and over and over again, right? It's a lot of fun. We did it with Evans and Lattimore a couple weeks ago. Well, we can do it with Bradbury here. So this is one of my favorite stats. If you look back to when Bradbury was with Carolina, right, there was four seasons where he was there and Mike Evans were together, or Mike Evans was on Tampa. So they faced off eight times and Bradbury shattered him seven times. So Bradbury was on the field for 2,080 coverage snaps during his time in Carolina. Okay. 9.7% of those plays he lined up against Mike Evans.
Almost 10%
of 2,000. That's unbelievable. That's a huge number. So these guys are very familiar with each other. On those plays, Evans caught 30 of 61 targets, 387 yards, one touchdown, four picks. Again, he shattered in seven of the eight games. Evans averaged 12.2 fantasy points per game in those seven games. So he did a really nice job against him. If there is a silver lining here for Evans, it's that these teams, the Giants and Bucks, played last year. Of course, Bradbury shattered Evans. Seven targets, five catches, 55 yards, and a touchdown. Mm-hmm. So one of his better games against Bradbury was most recently, of course, he had Tom Brady under center.
Right?
Yes, it's a downgrade. I'm just saying there's some silver lining that he got back on track. But overall, I guess I should have led with that. Yeah.
Okay.
Anyway, if it's Bradbury shadowing you, you could automatically assume it's a downgrade for sure, right? So he's done a nice job against him. That's a lot of words to just to show that it's where we get situations like this, right? So I like to talk about them a little bit where these guys have faced each other so often. And, you know, Bradbury's shadowed a few times this year successfully. So it's a good matchup. It's a tough matchup for Evans. And I would also apply that to either Antonio Brown or Tyler Johnson, whoever's on the other side, as he'll draw Adoree Jackson, who's arguably been better than Bradbury this year. He's been really good. Chris Godwin, we don't have him up there, but we're going to upgrade him.
You and I have him in top five this week.
Yes.
We're the only two rankers that are like that.
He's in the slot against Darnay Holmes with the two shutdown perimeter corners. The Giants allow a lot to the slot. I think it's fifth most fantasy points to the slot. So we can upgrade Godwin.
If I'm not mistaken, and Kyle can stat check me here, we had the same sort of thought process going into the New Orleans game. We're like, big upgrade for Chris Godwin. Mm-hmm. And I believe he had a really remarkable game that day. Mm-hmm. So no surprise, was kind of the stars aligning for a big day for Godwin. Perhaps they do once more on Monday night.
Yeah, and Evans had a down game. He got the one touchdown, which really bailed you out. But otherwise, it was a really rough game. Sure. Lattimore did a nice job.
So for the Dolphins, Tua will be starting, it sounds like. He will be starting on Sunday against the Jets. Mike, what do you think about this matchup for Jalen Waddle, who he's been very, very busy this year in terms of catches. He's piled them up, but he just hasn't really been down the field much. He's been, I think, at like 9.8 yards per catch. I would not have expected that for Jalen Waddle, but in PPR scoring, he's been more than sufficient.
Yeah, so you remember maybe a month ago, we were talking about the Jets, and we were like, man, like they're using undrafted rookies and just late day three flyers as their starters, and they're teams aren't really scoring a lot of fantasy points at receiver against them. Like, what's going on here? Is it legit? Is it the coaching? Is it going to fall apart? Well, it's falling apart.
Yeah.
It's certainly falling apart. This is an upgrade for Miami's wide receivers. Most fantasy points allowed to receivers over the past month for the Jets. Third most outside receivers, 12th most to the slot. They're allowing 9.3 yards per target to that position. It's third highest in the league. They're down Brandon Echols. He's out. The Javelin Guidry will fill in there. Waddle's in the slot most of the time, so he's going to face a rookie, Michael Carter. The other Michael Carter, not the running back. He's not a two-way player. Michael Carter the second. That'll be his primary competition in this game. I'd also call, if you are in a very deep league or playing DFS and you're looking for a home run sleeper, Albert Wilson has a good matchup here as well. He had a big game last week. His playing time has increased. Just again, this past week, he's kind of been all over the map, but he's a guy to look at if you're looking for a deep sleeper.
9.3 yards per catch, by the way, for Jalen Waddle. Again, for a player that was one of the most explosive in the country last year in college football, he has been utilized differently by Miami. We'll put a bow on wide receiver cornerback matchups here, Mike, in a big game. Indianapolis against Buffalo. Huge game for Indy, who is still in the AFC playoff picture with a tough schedule ahead of them. Big challenge against Buffalo on Sunday.
Yeah, extremely, extremely tough game here. Extremely tough schedule going forward. But, you know, by most efficiency metrics, the Colts are a pretty good team, like top 12, 10 team, right? So I'm curious to see how they fare in this game against a Bills team that's been kind of up and down this season. But nonetheless, this is an extremely tough matchup for the Indianapolis Colts wide receivers. The Bills have had the fewest fantasy points, yards, and touchdowns to wide receivers this season. Lowest yards per target, lowest catch rate. 17 points is the most they have allowed to a single receiver in a game this season. The fewest fantasy points to the perimeter as well. That's very notable here because Michael Pittman, one of the breakout stars in the league this season, lines up outside 78% of the time. There's a chance he's shadowed by Tre'Davious White in this game. Even if he's not, it's a very tough matchup for him, for T.Y. Hilton on the other side against Levi Wallace. And then in the slot, you have Zach Pascal 82% of the time. Taron Johnson's one of the best slot corners in the NFL. So just that, man, Sean McDermott, unbelievable job with that Bills team, especially defense. I mean, he's taking guys who were backups and corners. Like Micah Hyde was a reserve with the Packers. Now he's a superstar safety. Jordan Poyer, same thing, bouncing around the league as a journeyman back. I mean, one of the best safety duos in the league. I didn't see it coming. I was down on the Bills going into that first year when they brought in all them guys. Way wrong. I mean, McDermott, great job with that team.
They're outstanding with team building there. They've got a lot of things going for them right now, and a big, big challenge for Indy to go to Buffalo, right? The game's in Buffalo, I believe, them down. Did you watch Hard Knocks last night by chance?
Hard Knocks last night? No, I didn't.
Yeah, Colts, the debut of the Colts in-season Knocks last night. So interesting stuff there. I'm a sucker for that kind of stuff.
Oh, me too. I watch the off-season one all the time. I just have to catch up on that.
Yep. So debuted last night for those that may have missed it. By the way, Kyle has confirmed Chris Godwin is wide receiver 3 in week 8 when they played against the Saints. He had a big one against New Orleans. Let's get to Mike's rankings for some players that we won't have a chance to hear from him on, other than Fantasy Football Now on Sunday. How about Cam Newton, Mike? For Sunday, it sounds like he will be starting for the Panthers. At this point, we'd be surprised if he's not. Of course, Matthew and I broke the news on Monday. He will be starting on Sunday. So what's your evaluation for him this week?
So QB14 this week, right? Okay. So not a guy I feel great starting just yet. It's his first start since last season. But look, I mean, if he keeps adding value with his legs, there's going to be QB1 upside here. And we saw that last year, 592 yards, 12 touchdowns on the ground last year. He threw 8 touchdowns last year. 8 touchdowns. That can't be good in fantasy, right?
It's not good.
It can't be. Still was QB15.
Right.
Right. Yeah. So that was a really unique Patriots offense, extremely run heavy. He'll still add value with his legs. He'll still scramble. He'll still get rushing touchdowns at the goal line. But I think he'll throw more than he did in New England last year. And he has better guys to throw to, right? DJ Moore, Robbie Anderson, maybe Terrace Marshall has a second half breakout.
Sure.
CMC is there, right? So I think there's some optimism he can jump in and be a borderline, you know, streaming option back in QB1 going forward. But for now, for this week, even in a good matchup, I'm going to hesitate a little bit.
Still want to see him as a thrower, right? Like, I still want to see because that dramatically waned at the end of last season. Looks a little bit better during the preseason with the Patriots before he was released, but we'll see whether Cam has sort of refound that form. If so, then there's legit QB1 upside. If not, then perhaps he's only usable as a bye week fill-in.
Make sure that you check out CSS DFS today, because I'm going to ask both Mike and Al if you need to fade a $5,100 Cam Newton this week, or if that price is just so low.
You have
in your lineup.
Him. That's right.
$5,100.
That is enticing right there. Mm-hmm. Joe Burrow, I think, is slightly more expensive than that in daily this week. Joe Burrow and the Bengals travel to Vegas on Sunday. Mike, you like him here in this spot coming off their bye?
A little bit. I have him QB11, right? So in 12-team leagues, you're probably starting him. 18-plus fantasy points in 6 straight before you had that week 9 dud. He's not had many duds this year. He had that random one when we last saw him. I think he'll get back on track. 2-plus passing touchdowns in all but one game. It was that week 9 game. He doesn't add anything with his legs. That's why, you know, despite what he's done well with his arm this year, he's going to be capped in terms of his fantasy output. But also a tough matchup here. Raiders, 6.6 yards per attempt two quarterbacks this season. That is fifth lowest. They have allowed 17 passing touchdowns, though, which is fifth most. Five of them were last week against Patrick Mahomes. So they're an interesting one, right? The Raiders defense has done a pretty good job against receivers and quarterbacks this season, but obviously we saw them kind of fall apart a little bit last week against Patrick Mahomes. So maybe Cincinnati will steal a little bit from that playbook. But nonetheless, I think he is what he has been all year, right? He's a borderline QB1, back-end QB1. That's what I view him as.
I would agree on that one. How about Myles Gaskin, Mike? Because there have been some encouraging signs, but also some duds. I mean, last week was a dud, 5.5 fantasy points. But still, like from a process standpoint, I was not disconcerted by what happened last Thursday night with Myles Gaskin.
Yeah, I mean, you have to love his usage since Malcolm Brown went on IR, right? It's been massive. 18.8 touches per game during his past four games. He does have three top 12 fantasy weeks in his past six games. So he's been very boom bust because the other three have been 34th or worse, right? So he's either been really good or really bad. But as long as that volume keeps up, the fantasy points will come. And the big thing this week is the matchup. The Jets' run defense is, I can't believe how poor it is. I honestly can't believe it. Teams seem to come back to earth, and maybe they will in the second half. But for this deep into the season to consistently just be run over and over, they've played nine games this season? 13 running backs have scored 15-plus fantasy points against him. Six of them got to 20 fantasy points.
Wow.
That's more than one a game is getting to 15 points. So most yards, most touchdowns, most fantasy points to running backs. Gaskin's getting 18 opportunities a game, 18 touches a game. It must start. I mean, how do you bench him? I know he's had some duds. Maybe everything will go sour this week. You have to start him. I have him in a few leagues. I'll be starting him.
I'm going to ask you about a couple more here. Christian Kirk seems to have settled in as like the Arizona wide receiver you are starting if DeAndre Hopkins is not available, which we'll see for Sunday. And maybe even if DeAndre Hopkins is available, because he's been pretty useful, Mike, all season.
Yeah, he has 5-plus targets in 6 straight games, so that's good. You're getting a little bit of a floor there. Top 40 fantasy receiver for the past 5 weeks. Now, obviously, there's been crossover with no Hopkins. But to your point, if Hopkins is out, he's the most reliable guy. He is the guy that you want in your lineup. The Seahawks, by the way, they've done a pretty good job against receivers, but a lot of that's been on the perimeter. Second most fantasy points to the slot. That's where Kirk usually is, right? Him and Rondale Moore on the inside. Then you have Green and Hopkins on the outside. That won't change much if Hopkins is out because they just put Wesley in that slot, right? Arizona is very unique in that you kind of have a set position. You're not just in order on the depth chart, and then you move up one, and then like they put Kirk outside. That's Wesley as the backup, and we've seen that the past few weeks. So his role won't change much. It's a good matchup against the interior corners for Seattle. If Hopkins is out, you start him. If Hopkins does play, which seems we'll see. If Hopkins does play, then he's more of a flex option.
Daniel, what do you got?
Mike Field. I want to talk about some social questions. Do you mind?
I would love to hear some social questions.
BA wants to know, what am I supposed to do with DJ Moore?
Pray. Yeah. No, I think, with DJ Moore, like I was just talking about how like Cam's improved throwing or not improved throwing, that defines what happens with DJ Moore going forward. Really talented player. Target share has been pretty solid. But 24 receiving yards last week, Mike, like really for DJ freaking Moore? Like, come on now. Like this, if they can't get improved quarterback play, then I think the days of DJ Moore as a locket inserter for the rest of this season are inconsistent. I love the player, right? Like, by the way, depending on what happens with them this offseason at quarterback, because they're going to be one way or another, Carolina's going to have a quarterback headline this offseason.
No question about it.
Retaining Cam because he, rediscovers his form, whether it's trading for somebody, they're going to have some sort of headline, and DJ Moore's value is probably going to go up as a result of that. But for the rest of this season, like he's going to be an inconsistent play if they can't get reasonable quarterback play.
Yep, you just have to hope for a 30% target share, something like he was seeing earlier this season. I'm worried. I'd rather a pocket quarterback be in there because that can mean 8 more pass attempts a game, and that's huge in fantasy as you separate all of this talent at that position. So I'm definitely a little nervous, but right now you have to start him. And it is a decent matchup this week, right? So just put him in your lineup, and we'll see how this week goes.
Travis replaced Derrick Henry with Michael Carter in their lineup. What do you expect from him rest of the season?
Kind of where he has been, right? Yeah. I mean, like the passing game work was amazing right away. I think that was some of that was attributable to the fact that like they had Mike White out there. They were getting down big. And you know what? They keep getting down big, Mike. So that's what you have to hope for is that like the Jets have allowed, 145 points over their past four games? Like they have just been, maybe it's 175. They've been dominated recently, which they looked frisky defensively to begin the year. So like, I think what you're hoping for Michael Carter is 4 to 5 targets a game, 12 to 15 rushes a game, and an occasional touchdown and make him a low-end RB2?
Yeah, and an annoying amount of Ty Johnson. That's what you should expect.
Of course,
right?
Of course. Definitely expect that
Tevin Coleman too. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, mid-range RB2, and if he really gets going and picks it up and keeps improving, maybe he's better, closer to a borderline RB2. I mean, you've seen what DeAndre Swift has done this year in a struggling offense. He's been fantastic, and Carter's playing a big role, but I don't think they're going to go away from using some Johnson and Coleman. They're going to mix in, which is going to be a little frustrating, but at the same time, if you can get borderline top 15 numbers out of him, your investment paid off. So just keep rolling with that expectation.
Anything else, Daniel? We all good?
Nope, we're all good.
We are all good. But Stefania wants to add some. What do you got,
Stefania? Yeah, just a little bit of news just coming in. The Bills placed their starting right tackle Spencer Brown on the reserve COVID-19 list, putting his status for Sunday against the Colts in jeopardy. Don't forget, they also play again next Thursday.
By the way, the Bills, Spencer Brown has missed a couple of games just because of a back issue. He was a third round pick out of Northern Iowa. Maybe recall he was the guy that when he got drafted that night, jumped through a table.
Yes.
Remember, that was a cool moment.
That was the highlight.
You could tell right away he's going to be a good player, and he has been a good player for the Bills. So not good when they are facing off against a Colts team that has some decent players up front, Forrest Buckner, Kwity Paye amongst them. All right, well, interesting nugget there, and that's all we have for today. We're coming back on Friday with a full preview podcast. We will talk about all the injury updates. We'll have a brief recap of Thursday night football between the Falcons and the Patriots, and all the interesting tidbits you need to know for Week 11. Great job, as always, from Mike Clay, which you can find on Twitter at MikeClayNFL. For Stefania and Daniel, I am Field. We'll talk to you guys on Friday.
He's a NASCAR guy with a basement shrine, a Langford fan for life. Chargers are off to a terrible start, but that won't change his mind. Matching up all the cornerbacks, touchdown regression and weekly stats. But if your team falls flat, he's the one to blame. He's a brainiac, brainiac on the case. Projection.